particular in the bulletin that I need to emphasize to you this morning. However, I do want to make a point that I did not put in the bulletin and had no reason to put in the bulletin, that is this, so that some of you who might question, here some weeks ago we had four sisters here sitting in the front pew, but there are only two sitting there now. And I wish to explain what happened so that you don't think the disaster has struck. Number one, one of the sisters was only here just for 3 or 4 weeks, more or less as a type of vacation, and she went back where she came from. And that is as it should be. The other sister who left had some rather serious health problems, truly. This is not just an expression. She has some serious health problems, and she simply has to attend to them. And she is trying to overcome this, and let us hope and pray that she can overcome this, because otherwise, if not, it would be a serious hindrance, as far as she is concerned, in living the rigors of religious life. So please pray that all goes well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This coming week, we will be observing the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene. I am not going into the story of St. Mary Magdalene this morning. There's no point in it because you already know the story as well as I do. But I think it's time that we need to look at St. Mary Magdalene, not only St. Mary Magdalene, but also the other saints that we pray to. Many of us like to pray to St. Mary Magdalene. And we need to form within ourselves the correct approach to praying to the various saints. Usually we look upon St. Mary Magdalene as a patron saint of purity, and so she is. There are other saints, and as we look down the various problems that we have impatience, we have anger, we have pride, we have, whatever. And so we look down the list and we find Saint so-and-so is the patron of patience. Saint so-and-so is the patron of meekness. Saint so-and-so is the patron, of humility, and so on and so on and so on and so on. Because we have over the years applied a saint to every possible thinkable problem that we are confronted with. And so we pray to these saints and we expect them, do we not, to do this or that for us. As it were, we expect Saint so-and-so to go to the bin, which has meekness in it, and to take a big cup full of meekness and come and put it on top of us, and therefore we're going to be meek from then on out. Or expect Saint so-and-so to go to the bin that's marked purity and pick up a cup full of purity and pour it on top of us, and then all impurity that's in us is going to be gone. And it goes on. I think sometimes we are guilty of abusing the saints. It's all right to use the saints, but we may have the tendency to abuse them. We have the tendency to expect the saints to take all of the trouble that is involved in me becoming meek, or in me becoming pure, or in me becoming patient. So we pray to saint, and then, you know, after we pray to the saint, it seems that we breathe a sigh of relief. Well, now my impatience, excuse me, My impatience is in the hand of Saint so-and-so. So Saint so-and-so is taking care of my impatience, so I can go on and do whatever I need to do. I have other things to do. Saint so-and-so is guarding my impatience. I have other work to do. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. And to add to our way of doing things, on certain periods of time, or at certain periods of time, like the first of the year, or at the beginning of Lent, or at the beginning of Advent, we make resolutions. And we say, well, we're going to try to be patient during Lent. We're going to try to be pure during the new year. We're going to try to not be gluttonous in the coming months. We're going to try. It's always a try thing. And the work we put on somebody else. Now let's get stark with the reality of St. Mary Magdalene. We're all grown-ups, aren't we? You children can listen too, because you're going to be grown-ups too one of these days. We know who St. Mary Magdalene was, don't we? We know the things she did, don't we? And we know that she was addicted to the things that she did. She was addicted to her life. Are we not addicted to impatience? It's an addiction. Are we not addicted to anger? That's an addiction. When people have to tiptoe around us to keep us from exploding and kicking the walls down and kicking the doors down, that's an addiction. When we drink, that's an addiction. When we curse, that's an addiction. And Mary Magdalene was addicted to impurity, was she not? And Mary Magdalene approached Jesus before she touched him. She had come to the realization that she was impure, that she was a real sinner. And when she touched him, at the moment that she touched him, she had made a decision. Clear cut. Firm. Absolute. There was no business, there was nothing in her mind, but I'm going to try to be pure from now on. I'm going to make a resolution to be pure from now on. No, the decision was clear cut. And she lived with it. Now, do we pretend to assume that our blessed Lord, because she was Mary Magdalene, gave her special graces in order that she could maintain her decision? Not so. I think that it would be entirely safe to say that this is not so. Because if Christ, if God, if the Holy Ghost, or whoever, gave her the grace to be pure, or to be meek, or to be patient, or to be whatever else we are, why doesn't he give us the same grace? It would have been totally unfair on the part of Christ to give Mary Magdalene that kind of help. Now, do you think it was easy for her to be pure? You think it was easy for her to live up to her decision? Let us not be stupid. What do you think went through this woman's mind? When she went down the street and saw this lover and that lover and the other lover. What do you think she felt when she saw this one and that one and the other? Do you think that she would not, well, she was not drawn like metal is drawn to a magnet? When she met up with these people that she was formerly intimate with, what do you think? Do you think that because she made the decision, I will not, that from then on out, she could walk around and everything would be absolutely wonderful and she lived happily ever after? When she made that decision, she made the decision to suffer. Because when she walked down, for example, the street, that walked down the street and saw this one and that one and the other, she literally had to probably grab hold of something to keep from yielding. To think otherwise is not thinking straight. And so it is with us with our anger. And so it is with us with our impatience. And so it is with us with anything else that we do that is wrong. We have to take the steps to do what is necessary. And when it is, when we have the attack of anger, the attack of rage that hits us from time to time, and that we feel so justified in kicking the walls out, that is the time to grab hold of something and say to ourselves, no, I will not do that. No, I will not take that drink. And so on. And no is a terrible word to have to live with, especially if we are so self-willed that we think that we can get away with it. Almighty God is not going to ask us, did we try? You see, we pray to these saints, and even the prayers that we that have been put together over the years, when we pray, please, Saint so-and-so, remove from me my tendency to impatience. Remove from me my impurity. Remove from me whatever it is we want to get rid of. We want somebody else to do the work for me. If I am impatient, I am the only living, the only creature of God that can do anything about it. And for me to expect somebody else to do the work for me, it doesn't work that way. And it's a cop-out. Because we think we might go to God, well, God, you know, I know I was impure or impatient or angry or given to anger. But you see, I prayed to so-and-so and so-and-so, and somehow or other, he just didn't come through for me. That's all. It was really basically, I did everything I could, but nothing ever came from it. Why? Because I did not do what had to be done. I did not put the scissors to my impatience, or to my anger, or to my pride, or to my self-will, or whatever. St. Mary Magdalene was very special, to be true, to be sure, and we know it. As a matter of fact, she was so special that after our Lord came back from the dead, though we know that he had to go see his mother first, but there's no record of that on hand. It's none of our business what took place between Mary and Jesus after his resurrection. That was a very private affair. But who was the first person after his mother that Christ appeared to? It was Mary Magdalene. Before even all of the apostles, before even St. John. That's how special she was, because he saw in her the one who was determined to save her soul. And after all, that's what he's interested in. And he saw in her that determination which is for God. Surely, we do not need to go into our present times. We know the disaster that we're in at the present moment. And the disaster is becoming more disastrous. Surely, as mature grown-ups, we know that we have to put the axe to something. Our tendency might be to put the axe to somebody else. The axe has to be put to me, first and foremost. And we cannot take the advantage that, well, that's his opinion. We see it done several different ways. So I have, if they have their opinion, I have a right to my opinion. There's only one opinion that matters, my dear people. And that's God's opinion. And in the present day, where is the blame to be put for the disaster that we're in? It is to be put right here at my feet and your feet, because we haven't done what is required. You say, well, we're just an individual. Yes, we are just an individual. But the world is made up of individuals. So far, we are all, I use the word victim here, we're all the victims of our opulence. Today we live better than kings used to live. The conveniences that we've got, the things that we do, the things that we want to do, the things that we cherish are over and above what kings of former times ever even dreamed of. And our lives have become very soft. Soft as silk. There was nothing soft about the life of Mary Magdalene. Nothing soft about that. That was stark. That was real. It was difficult. It was tremendous. And that's what's going to be asked of us. How determined are we to save our immortal souls? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Do we understand that? That's a strong statement. Just because we stay on our knees, just because our prayer books are bulging with prayers, prayer cards, just because we do this, just because we do that. And there's another dimension. We who like to classify ourselves as the Roman Catholics, as the traditional Catholics of the Roman Church, some of us, I've done some moving around. Some of us have come to the conclusion that so long as we place our gift, what is our gift? I'm not talking about, you know what I mean. So long as we place our gift on the altar of tradition, we're scot-free. We're home free. There are many of us that think that. There are many of us that are, I'm not speaking of here, because I have to keep in mind the whole program, wherever it manifests itself. There are many of us that are churchgoers and nothing more. So long as we go to church on Sunday, so long as we go to confession on Saturday or Sunday or Monday or whenever, so long as we go to communion, that all is well. My beloved people, please take my word for it. That doesn't mean anything. You've heard me say at other times, when speaking to the monks or nuns in the monastery, that it is possible, and not only is it possible, but it's actually happened. Well, I'll take that back, that's wrong, it's incorrect, because I'm projecting myself into the mind of God, and I can't do that. But it is actually possible for a man or a woman to live in a monastery or a convent for 30, 40, 50, 60 years and live the life of his or her vocation so well that books can be written about him or her. Because his obedience was absolutely spotless. His humility was without flaw. All those 40 or 50 years. And you know, it is possible for that person to go to hell. And why? You ask. Here, perfection is every place. How can you say that that person could go to hell? The answer? The person's activity was totally intellectual. Nothing came from that person's heart. And unless and until our hearts be converted, let me repeat that. Unless and until our hearts be converted, let us not speak of salvation. That is a very strong statement, and I know it, and you know it. Salvation rests in our hearts. So my beloved people, as we look to Saint, yes, look at Saint Mary Magdalene. Think when you look at her. And think of where her desire, some people like to maintain she had a love problem with Jesus. Yes, some of you frown. Some people say she had a love problem with Jesus, and therefore she was using Jesus more or less. Horror of horrors. They even go so far as to say that Jesus had a problem with St. John. But that's the mentality of our raging age. She did not have a love affair with Jesus. She had a love affair with Jesus's being and her holiness of life. That's all that mattered. She made a decision and she lived with it. Did she have temptations afterwards? Probably twice as many. Did she think of her lovers afterwards? No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Did she have the fantasies later on in life? You can be sure of that. Because everything that we experience, you can be sure that she experienced. That's the way it works. Because Almighty God did not take impurity and lift it up off of her and go over here and take purity and put it on her. She is the one that step by step, by painful step, took her fault off of herself and replaced it with its opposite. And she became one of the most beautiful people that we know of. This is what we want to do when we think of the saints, when we imitate the saints. Let's look at the stark realities behind each one of them and then say, this is what I am going to do. I'm not going to be like Saint Mary Magdalene. Otherwise, when I do and I go before God, I will be giving him a carbon copy of Saint Mary Magdalene. God does not want to see Saint Mary Magdalene in my reflection. God does not want to see Saint Joseph in my reflection or Saint John in my reflection. God wants to see me. And nobody else will do. This we have to understand. And I have to do my own work if I want to save my soul. I know these words sound harsh, but we're living in harsh times. And something has got to be done to reshape our mentality. Otherwise, if we don't hearken to something, when the day comes and Christ appears a second time, there will be our friend down there who will be yelling at him, I told you I could do it. And at the present moment, it looks like he is succeeding. But you and we, as long as we are around, may it please God that when he comes, that at least we can say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. God bless you, my precious people.